From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, August 2nd. I'm Abby Larico. In the Republican primary for Missouri governor, three candidates have the best chance of winning on Tuesday. They are Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft, State Senator Bill Eigel, and Lieutenant Governor Mike Keogh. Though there are policy differences between the candidates, this race is more about personality.
Do you want an outsider? Do you want someone who's going to shake things up in Jefferson City? Or are you looking for, you know, continuity and stability and more traditional Republican approaches?
A breakdown of the Republican primary for governor coming up on The Gateway. It's been almost a decade now since the police killing of Michael Brown Jr. Family members, friends, and others from the community gathered last night around the spot where he was killed to reflect on his death and legacy. St. Louis Public Radio's Madison Holcomb reports from the memorial in Ferguson.
10 years ago yesterday was the day Michael Brown graduated high school. Just 8 days later, he was shot and killed by a police officer. On the spot where his body laid for 4.5 hours, loved ones placed candles, stuffed animals, and flowers. Michael Brown's dad, Michael Brown Sr., helped organize the event. He says every day is different for him when it comes to the grief he faces after losing his son. When asked what he hopes continues about his son's legacy,
that people will never forget and will understand that he has a father that's standing strong, 10 toes down for his justice.
Michael Brown Sr. started a nonprofit called Chosen for Change in his son's honor to provide support to families who have experienced a traumatic loss. I'm Madison Holcomb, St. Louis Public Radio.
Foods containing psychoactive cannabis compounds, including Delta 8 and THC, will be banned in Missouri, Governor Mike Parson announced Thursday. The executive order applies unless the products come from an approved source, which the governor's office says does not currently exist under federal or Missouri law. The governor's office says the products can resemble brand name snacks and candies and pose a risk to kids. The products are specifically prohibited from being sold at establishments holding a liquor license. Through the executive order, the Department of Health and Senior Services will begin the steps to embargo the products. It does not apply to lawful marijuana products sold at Missouri dispensaries. Missouri voters authorized medical marijuana in 2018 and recreational marijuana in 2022. The Biden administration is proposing a new rule to protect workers from extreme heat. Harvest Public Media's Anna Pope reports it's expected to reach 36 million employees across the U.S., including agricultural workers.
Heat is the leading cause of weather-related deaths in the U.S., and the proposed rule is meant to reduce heat injuries, illnesses, and deaths in the workplace. Antonio De La Vera of the United Farm Workers said the rule is overdue.
It's a bittersweet moment because we know that this probably would not have happened had workers not died, right?
The rule would have employers make a heat illness and injury prevention plan, including requirements for drinking water, rest breaks, and control of indoor heat. Federal officials are encouraging the public to submit comments on the proposal. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Anna Pope.
A new law in Illinois is prompting changes for people who work as election judges and poll workers across the state. Capital News Illinois reports, as part of House Bill 4488, which was signed into law this July, poll workers will no longer have their name, ward or township, and precinct number on their identification badges. Instead, the badges will say they're an election judge that is authorized by their local court. Each badge will also have a unique identification number. Tazewell County Clerk John Ackerman says this can de-escalate situations when upset voters confront judges. The Illinois State Board of Elections also provides emergency contact information that can be put on the back in case an incident does happen. Election authorities are working to add protections in and around polling places as another layer of election security. The commissioner of the Missouri Valley Football Conference is retiring after this season. Patty Viverito was one of the first top female college sports administrators when she started nearly 40 years ago. She says she's grateful to see college sports have become more inclusive over the years.
It opened the door for me, certainly, but I'm really happy to say that there are now many women in the commissioner's room for Division I conferences, and it's nice to have company.
The Missouri Valley Football Conference has dominated its level of college football, winning 17 national championships and 11 in the last 13 years. It's tax-free weekend in Missouri. That means shoppers won't pay state or local sales tax on certain back-to-school items, including classroom supplies, tech, and clothes, from now through Sunday. That's a savings of up to 9%. The Missouri Department of Revenue includes a full list of tax-exempt items on its website. Three candidates stand out in the nine-person Republican primary for Missouri governor: Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft, State Senator Bill Eigel, and Lieutenant Governor Mike Keogh. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, a tight race is likely to come down to name recognition and money.
When former President Donald Trump recently issued his endorsement for the Missouri governor's race, he didn't really make a choice. Instead, Trump gave his seal of approval to all three leading candidates, saying, quote, "You can't go wrong." Ashcroft has served as Missouri's Secretary of State the past 8 years. He says his actions in office qualify him as governor.
I've actually been moving conservative policy forward to increase the opportunity for all Missourians, while my competitors have been selling Missouri for their own political and personal gain.
Anita Mannion is an assistant professor of political science at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. She says for Ashcroft, name recognition has definitely benefited his campaign.
He has name recognition from the office he's held, but also because of his father, who was a very popular politician from Missouri.
When talking about how he would govern, Ashcroft says he's interested in working with everyone to pass legislation.
For me, it's not about working with Republicans or Democrats. It's about identifying what is best for the people of this state and building a coalition to get it done and being a public servant to the citizens of this state.
The candidate whose rhetoric has matched Ashcroft is Eigel. Eigel has set himself up as an anti-establishment candidate.
The Missouri I'm thinking about is going to require these big, bold ideas about reducing the tax burden, getting our finances in order, and really taking on that status quo.
Mannion says Eigel's constant conflict with Republican Senate leadership gives merit to his political outsider claims.
Although he did hold office in Jefferson City, that while he was there, he certainly did, you know, resist the party line a lot. To the party's benefit or detriment, you might argue that.
One of Eichel's key policy proposals is to eliminate personal property taxes for Missourians.
It is a conversation about whether or not we should think that charging somebody rent on their cars every December 1st is the right way to do it.
Eigel says he intends to use surplus general state revenue to make up for the loss. Kehoe, who has the endorsement of Governor Mike Parson, pushes back on the notion that he isn't conservative enough.
And I think it's kind of ridiculous that we've all of a sudden got to a spot in our party is, are you a Republican or conservative? And then somebody says on a scale of 1 to 10. I believe that you represent the party's values and you move forward, and that's what I have done.
Kehoe has larger policy differences compared to his fellow candidates. That includes his continued support for the state's gas tax. He says it's not anti-Republican to support infrastructure.
We still are one of the lowest gas taxes in the United States, but yet we've secured some funding to make sure Missouri's roads and bridges are safe for our families, and we have the capacity to do what we need to do for economic development.
Kehoe is leading the race in fundraising. According to the July campaign finance report, Kehoe has raised $4.2 million. Ashcroft has raised almost $1.4 million, while Eigel has $1.7 million. Unlike Ashcroft and Eigel, Mannion says Kehoe is running his campaign more like an incumbent.
He has the funding, and he's also, you know, running the ads, but declining to debate.
The primary is Tuesday. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. You can read all of our coverage on the August primary by going to stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.